Hello and welcome to Season 2 of Untold, the story of the Jamaican community in Canada, a podcast produced by journalism students at Mount Royal University as part of the Community Podcast Initiative. This series explores the stories of Jamaicans to learn more about their culture and heritage and their contributions to Canadian society.
We'll talk to people about what it was like to leave Jamaica and how they've adjusted to life here, their successes and the challenges they faced. We'll hear how they've shared their culture and knowledge with Canadians through food, the arts, business, spirituality, healthcare, and education. Many of their stories have been overlooked and untold.
I'm Nado Abagu.
And I'm Emma Velpel. And in today's episode, we're talking to Connie Curry. She's a nurse based in Calgary who's worked as the manager at the Calgary Tuberculosis Clinic. Curry has been a nurse for over 3 decades, but her journey to nursing and to Calgary was not an easy one.
With hospital closures across Canada in the 90s to the birth of her children, she's had a roller coaster of ups and downs that have led her to where she is today. But before becoming a nurse, before moving to Canada, she was a little girl living in a full house in Jamaica while her parents lived up north in Montreal.
So my dad left when I was 3 months old to come to Canada. I moved to Montreal. My mom stayed back with me until I was a year old, and I was with my grandparents, so on my mother's side. So again, like I said, my grandmother had 6 kids, and the youngest one, so she always wants me to refer to her as auntie, and as I said, I'm 3 months older than her, so that doesn't happen. But we essentially grew up as twins. That's how people saw us in the community. And I actually didn't realize for a long, long time. Like, I knew the story that my parents were in Montreal, but at the same time, and as I said about growing up and what my home life was like, I wasn't lacking. I didn't, like, think that my parents... I saw my grandparents as my parents. And that was just the routine day in, day out. So I didn't really, growing up, I remember I have certain memories of coming to Montreal to visit my parents, or my parents coming back to Jamaica to visit me. But I never was lacking. It wasn't to say that, oh, my mom or my dad's not here. I always had, and if anything, when my brother came along, he's 4 years younger than me, so when my brother came along, he referred to them as Big Mommy and Big Daddy, and that's how I saw it, that I had two sets of parents. So I didn't really lack for anything, and it was just normal. It was just normal for me at that time. Even since then, and when I moved to Montreal, there are a number of my peers who had the same experience from different islands. So I had my best friend growing up was from Trinidad, and that was the same experience that she had, where her mom first went to England and then to Montreal. So it was just a normal thing. I didn't think that I was missing my parents in any way, shape, or form. That was just the way that it was. So I have since heard that there's some groups who refer to themselves as barrel kids. And I never heard that term until I came to Canada, where parents would send stuff back to Jamaica or whatever country in barrels. So you would get clothing, food, stuffs, all of that kind of thing. But that wasn't my experience. So it was just a normal thing. My parents lived in Montreal, in Canada, and I would come up to visit. So it was the best of two worlds, put it that way.
And you're working as a nurse right now. So we also wanted to understand a little bit what made you first want to be a nurse.
So my recollection of choosing, and I wouldn't even say at that point in time that it was a career path. I had an experience in our primary school where a public health nurse came, and this was customary. The nurse would come to the school, and you would get your vaccinations and whatnot. And the earliest memory I have, I think I was probably about 4 or so, and I remember this nurse coming to the school and providing us with our vaccinations. And it left such an impression on me that we would play and such. And we ended up vaccinating ourselves, or what we thought was vaccinating ourselves. So I have a second scar now due to what we thought we were vaccinating each other. But it left a really big impression on me, in my family as well, particularly on my dad's side. We have a lot of nurses. But again, I knew of them as nurses, but I didn't really interact with them. But it was just a memory that stuck with me. Fast forward to moving to Canada. Still didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I still had that memory in my mind that I wanted to be a nurse.
So yeah, you were saying how, in our pre-interview, you said you moved to Canada at quite a young age. Mm-hmm. And you were just saying how you used to visit there quite a bit when you were a kid. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know how you felt on that plane to Canada, knowing that it was going to be a permanent stay.
So actually, it's 50 years this year. I was thinking about it in anticipation of this interview, and I actually never really gave a lot of thought to it. So I moved in June of 1975, and along with me, I mentioned my aunts, who were one is 3 months younger than me, the other one is 2 years older than me. And then we had an older sister, if you will, because I refer to them as my sisters. And so the eldest one, she was 5 years older than me. So she would be that person who would bring me up to Canada when she got older to visit my parents. So I remember visits here and there with her. But for my trip, that permanent trip to moving to Canada, all three came along with me. By this time, my brother was here. He would have been probably 5 or so at the time. So it was an exciting time. At the same time, in the back of my mind was the permanency of that move, that I wouldn't have my support system, because this is who I lived with all the time, with my sisters. So it was all of us girls together. In the beginning, because I, if I recall correctly, they were with me for the entire month of June. And it was kind of routine that my parents would take us to some place in Canada. When in the summertime, we would visit some historical place. We would always have some kind of vacation, destination vacation across Canada that we would visit. So this wasn't any different. We spent it hanging out together, going to visit. I think we went to Upper Canada Village at the time, and in Quebec there is this zoological park called Park Safari. So you drive in your vehicles and the animals would be roaming around, come up to your vehicle and stuff like that. So those are some of the memories that I had of that time. And then, of course, when it came time that my sisters were going back to Jamaica, it was devastating to me. It was devastating from the point of view that this has been my support system. We ate together, slept together. We did everything together. We slept in the same beds. We knew each other intimately, all the secrets, everything. So that piece, that definitely was difficult. I remember just crying for days after they left, because that connection was no longer there. Certainly we could call each other. They didn't have a phone in the home at the time, but in Kingston, where we had a second home, when they went in, they could call. I could call. Definitely lots of letters were written during that time. But while there was a quiet kind of excitement around a new prospect of living in Canada, still the longing for Jamaica, because that's all that I knew. For some of our family, they know me well around this, like fruits, for instance, just didn't taste the same. To this day, I don't eat a banana here because it doesn't taste the same. It doesn't smell the same, doesn't taste the same to me as what I was accustomed to in Jamaica. So summertime had passed by now, and then getting ready for school. So that too was an eye-opening experience. So by the time I left Jamaica, I'd finished primary school and I would have been entering high school. But the age that I was at skipped a couple grades when I was in Jamaica. Facing some stereotypes about education or just overall who you are as an individual, or stereotypes around coming from the so-called third world country. So that was definitely an eye-opening experience for me as a kid. I never experienced that kind of thing before. So my mom being a teacher and being told that I had to be held back 2 years, she said, absolutely not, that's not going to happen. So I was held back 1 year because I was already ready to go into high school, but she felt that coming into a new system, getting assimilated with everything, that probably would be best that I do over grade six. So I went back and I redid grade six, which was, it was very easy for me because I'd already been through that. But then I came to recognize why it was important socially to build those connections. So I went to elementary school in Montreal, and great experience. I had a fantastic grade six teacher, made some lifelong friendships in elementary school as well. And then I'd get the usual questions, do you wear clothes in Jamaica? The really ridiculous things that kids would ask. Things like, so they would associate Jamaica as some African countries or on safari where animals would be roaming around wild and those kinds of things. And I was like, no, this is a rare civilized country. Not to say that African countries aren't, but they just had this picture of what Jamaica was like. And then, of course, getting used to snow. So that was an experience for sure. Again, yeah, there were definitely a lot of things that I needed to adjust to. But again, as I said, I had a good group of friends. I'm glad I went to the school that I did. I had the teacher that I did, because that just made that assimilation so much easier.
So you came from this house full of so many kids, all of your brothers and sisters and everything. So how is life adjusting to living with just your parents and your brother after that?
It was challenging. But again, the nature of our family, that even though I would come up to Montreal or come to Canada from time to time, they did after I left Jamaica. So we still had those periods where they would come to visit or I would go back to Jamaica. It became less and less frequent going back, returning to Jamaica. But I would always have my aunts and uncles, my so-called siblings, coming up. My brother was a very curious kid, and we got along quite well after the initial phase, because he then had to come to the conclusion that, hey, she's not leaving, she's here. We had that, I mean, the attention, seeking the attention of my parents and stuff like that. So he was a really sweet kid. My brother passed away when he was 26, so almost 30 years ago. And he was just a really sweet, gentle person. So I'm glad, again, that I had the opportunity of spending time with him as he was growing up and we grew up together. But yeah, it was a little rough in the beginning where it's like, who is this person? Why is she still here, kind of thing. As our relationship grew and developed, we were like two peas in a pod because we had each other.
So what were the biggest differences, would you say, between Canada and Jamaica when you got here?
Well, one of the biggest things I would say definitely is around, temperature, of course. We had a lot more freedom to go about and explore where you're in an urban area where we lived. Sure, we could get out and stuff like that, but you didn't have as much freedom to do that. You're more tethered to your home than you are in Jamaica. Like, you know who your neighbors are. Here, you don't necessarily have that same thing. Like, growing up, yeah, there are a bunch of kids in the neighborhood, but it wasn't the same. And given the position that my grandmother and grandfather had in the community, pretty much everybody knew them. Wherever we went, everybody knew, which was sometimes a bad thing, because if you were getting into mischief, then our grandparents ultimately knew, whereas kind of had a bit of a buffer here. Our parents wouldn't know if we're necessarily getting into mischief. But that's one of the biggest things that I would say, that we had a lot more freedom to explore. You had a lot more tighter bonds with people. And then, of course, moving here, sure, like I said, classmates were in the neighborhood, but they weren't as tight-knit as I was accustomed to in Jamaica.
So we know a little bit that like pregnancy and your marriage put a bit of like a stop to a little bit of your nursing pursuits. So I kind of just want to know like when did things change? Like what made you want to come to Calgary and start pursuing nursing at U of C?
So this would have been probably around 1995 or so. Across the country, actually, there was a lot of changes to healthcare, the healthcare systems. So there were nursing layoffs, hospital closures, and such. So it started here in the West, and it moved across the country. So around by this time, I'd had my second child. I was working at a hospital, and I came back to work after my maternity leave, only to find out that we were going to have some hospital closures, or we were going to have some services closed within our hospital. I had had an aunt here in Alberta, and she'd always told me, she'd been here for years and years, and she'd always said, oh, you need to come to Alberta, you need to move to Calgary. And I kind of put that in the back of my head because I had already made a huge move from Jamaica to Montreal, and I vowed never, ever to make such a move again. And so she had planted the seed years before, and I just kind of discounted it. And it came time in 1995 where I would come to work in Montreal and they would say, well, you're working at this hospital today, or you're working on this floor today. And I said, you know, I'm looking for consistency. Sure, it was great. I still had a job and all of that, but I was looking for consistency, especially having a family. So I decided to come out to Calgary. And I did some fact-finding and did some interviews while I was here. I was fortunate enough to get hired at one of our main hospitals and decided to come out and try it out. So I took a year leave of absence. I was fortunate enough that our director of nursing at the hospital I worked at gave me that time. So I took a year and said I would give it a whirl and see how things worked out, and that year led me here. I didn't go back. I just gave in my notice in Montreal, and I've been here ever since.
You've been talking a little bit about how you came into like a managerial position, like where you work now and all that. So I'm kind of also wondering what like drew you to wanting that position.
I think it was just an evolution over time. And I think that actually every position that I've held as a nurse has led me to where I am now. Like I said before, I worked as a floor nurse, and that was really fulfilling. I would say that I have a servant's heart, and that's what's led me through my nursing career. But there came a certain time where doors opened and I said, what more do I want? And I would see other opportunities there, walk through that door, which would lead me to another opportunity. I always wanted to be in a space where I'm able to leave any situation that I'm in a better perspective, in a better place. Through my teaching at U of C and helping to grow nurses to achieve their potential, it then had me thinking about, okay, leading a clinic, leading staff to achieving their potential so we can provide the best possible care to patients. So that's what led me to management, being able to shape policy, being able to set a particular standard for how care is provided to a group of patients. So that's what led me to management. After leaving the hospital setting, I then went into community as a manager, which is where I am now. I manage a clinic of about 35 staff, and it's fulfilling in a lot of ways where, again, like I said, I help people to reach their potential, and I know that our patients are getting good care.
I guess that kind of brings me to my next point. Like, what do you love about your job?
That's a loaded question. I love nursing. Every year we celebrate Nurses Week, and it's always funny because staff will all, here she goes again. Every week we celebrate Nurses Week in May to coincide with Florence Nightingale's birthday. And while some areas celebrate only the one day, her birthday, we have to do the week. So we have to do something that celebrates what we do every day. But back to your job. It's a tough job. You're sometimes isolated. You're sometimes isolated in doing this work. But again, when I see staff coming to work, enjoying what they're doing, because when I asked the question of a number of, I remember when I was teaching and I asked the question, like, why are you here as a nurse? Everybody have all kinds of reasons why they're in nursing. Some, it's due to a family member who was sick. It was due to, well, this is what they're only nurses in my family, so I just had to follow the family tradition. Some come to it and say, well, it's a good job, it's a steady job, it's for the money, which are all true and valid reasons. But for me, it's giving back. When I see staff fulfilling why they're here, and especially when I see clients getting good care, that's what drives me. That's what keeps me coming back after 37 years. So it's something that I enjoy doing. I'm getting to that age now where I'm considering retirement, and I'm kind of at peace with it now. It was when I started thinking about retirement, I thought, how am I going to fulfill my purpose? And I believe nursing was my purpose. So volunteerism has become that stepping stone to, at one point, stepping away from nursing.
So if you were to do this all again, your journey through nursing, is there anything you would do differently?
I don't think so, because as I said, every opportunity that I've had, all of the individuals who have come along the way to help support me, guide me, teach me, it's led me to here. So I always see life, you're going to have good experiences, you're going to have bad experiences, is what you do with those experiences, because in a bad experience, there's something for you to learn. In a good experience, there's still something for you to learn there and push you forward. So no, everything happened the way it was supposed to happen.
And you said how volunteering is like a stepping stone for you to step away from nursing, but is there anything else you'd like to do in the future?
I have dabbled into entrepreneurship, where I love to craft. So the shirt I'm wearing today I made. So I love to craft and do those things. So I'm looking at how I can utilize that, potentially find whatever niche that is and maybe do something like that. I do enjoy the creative side of things. I sew. I don't sew as much as I used to sew. But I think there's a lot to keep me busy.
That was Connie Curry, a nurse who's been practicing for over 30 years in both Montreal and Calgary. She has also been the event coordinator for the JCAA for the past year.
Thanks for listening to Untold, the story of the Jamaican community in Canada, a podcast produced by journalism students at Mount Royal University in Calgary as part of the Community Podcast Initiative. I'm Nato Abagu.
And I'm Emma Velpel. This series was produced on the lands of the Niitsitapi Blackfoot, Iyethka Nakota, Tsuut'ina, and Métis peoples. We recognize the stewards of these lands and the knowledge they bring to our understanding of authentic storytelling.
Special thanks to Dr. Marva Ferguson and the Jamaican Community Association Alberta, who have been so supportive in helping us put this series together. Be sure to subscribe to the show to hear the latest episodes and discover new podcasts from the Community Podcast Initiative on our website, thepodcaststudio.ca.